scan the rows. I see a lot of visitors here today. See extra grandkids here up in the front, as well as people visiting from community, from other congregations. We're glad you're here today. We have some from the country that are here today. Glad to see them. Have Frank Ingram's daughter-in-law here today, Susan, one of her family members. Frank came 38 years ago here. It was probably a perfect storm for us for him to come at that time. A lot of us were young, late teens, early 20s when Frank came here, and he started a young people's class that I've never seen the success of since. Probably 40, 50 young people a lot of times in somebody's living room, and people didn't have large houses like they have today, and we were stuffed in there. And Frank was a wonderful help to a lot of us. So we're glad to see them, as well as others. Lyle's not sitting with a new woman this morning. That's Judy. So don't be surprised there. But we're glad to see her back again as well. Michaela, she has had her surgery. She had her tonsils out this past week. She was very pitiful at the end of the week, so hopefully she'll get better as the days go on. And also remember others that are going to have surgery in the future. So we're glad that you're here and invite you to come back at every opportunity that you might have to study the Word of God with us. In Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 18 beginning, it says, "And while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, My daughter's just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him. And so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. They ridiculed him. And when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out to all of the land. And when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, and according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. And when they had departed, they spread news about him all over that country. Question this morning: What difference has Jesus made in your life? What difference has Jesus made in your life? Over in Matthew and in chapter 5 and in verse 47, Matthew chapter 5, verse 47, as he begins the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and in verse 47, he says in verse 47, if you greet only your brothers, What more are you doing than others? What more are you doing than others? What difference has Jesus made in your life? You might say, well, I go to church now. I go to church now instead of going to the lake. Or maybe now I drink lemonade instead of drinking beer. And maybe that's the change that has been made in your life. Or maybe something else. What we see here in this context, especially with this woman as he is making his way to this little girl, and it's underlined here, if only I may touch his garment, then I shall be made well. I shall be whole. If only I can touch the garment of Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus touched different people. You see, he moved. He had compassion. He stretched out his hand toward people. Especially people during this time, in this context, he's dealing with a person that has leprosy over in Mark and in chapter 1. And in verse 41 there, Mark 1 verse 41, it says, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Another passage. In Matthew and in chapter 8. And then verse 3, again, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. We see in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 15 again, Matthew 8 and in verse 15. It says in verse 15, and he touched her hand. This is Peter's mother-in-law. He touched her hand and the fever left her and she got up and she waited. She waited on him. In Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 25, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 25. It says, and the crowd had been sent out. He entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. He had touched her, took her by the hand. In Matthew 9 and in verse 29 that we just read a moment ago, he touched their eye. In Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 7, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17 verse 7 it says, and Jesus came to them and touched them. And in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 13, Matthew 19 verse 13 it says, then some of the children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him. He touched them. In fact, this is recorded some 200 times. Well, when we talk about the touch of Jesus, we're not talking about, like many Pentecostals believe, about the Holy Spirit coming and laying hands upon you and there are certain things going to change in your life because of that. No, we don't believe that. But because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and studying the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, has it touched your life in such a way that you desire to make changes within your life? That's what I'll look at for the next couple of moments. He touched me with his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He touched me with his love. And because he touched me with his love, he taught me to love. He taught you to love. Over in Matthew, or in John chapter 15 and in verse 13. Jack read it earlier this morning in the talk before the Lord's Supper. John 15 and in verse 13. He says, John 15 verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. In chapter 13 of John, and in verse 34 and 35, John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, so also you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you don't have love for one another, if you're backbiting each other, if you're bringing reproach upon the church, if you're bringing disgrace upon the church, then the world sees you're not loving your brother. But because he touched me, because he touched you, he made a difference in our life, and therefore we love one another. In 1 John chapter 3, and in verses 16 through 18, 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 16 through 18, he says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. For whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, do not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. People say, not my problem, not my problem. Your brother, your sister in Christ, it is your problem. In Matthew, or in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 25. Ephesians 5 and in verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. He touched me. He touched me with his mercy, with his kindness toward me, and taught me to forgive. Father, Luke 23, verse 35, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're saying there, give them the opportunity, give them the time to repent. In Luke chapter 7, and in verse 40 through verse 43, Luke 7 and in verse 40 through verse 43, it says, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. He owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which one of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, and she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since this time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Or in Matthew chapter 18, and in verses 21 through 35. I looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Here's a person, a slave, that has been given over $3 billion in our income today, in our money. But he can't repay. Spit it. Look. It says in verse 24, when he began to settle, the one whom he owed 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children, all that he had, repayment to be made. And the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him, forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, seized him, began to choke him. I want my money. I want my money. So what did the master do? The master toward that fellow. Says verse 30. But he was unwilling. He went, threw him into prison that he should pay back what was owed. And when the fellow slaves saw what had happened, he was deeply grieved, came and reported to their Lord all that happened. And summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. What God has done for all of us, what God has done for every one of us that's a child of God, and what do some people do? It says here, the Lord, he's moved with anger. He handed over him to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you do not forgive his brother from your heart. He touched me. He touched me with compassion. With feeling. The idea is, and taught me kindness, taught you kindness. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 32, Ephesians 4 and in verse 32, Ephesians 4 verse 32, the apostle writes, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 12. Colossians 3 and in verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He touched me. He touched me with eternity. He taught me to hope. Said there, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Romans and in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and in verses 22 through verse 24. Romans 8 and in verse 22 through verse 24. It says in verse 24 especially, For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? And in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He touched me. He touched me with his sacrifice. As Jack talked about this morning, his sacrifice on the cross. But not only his sacrifice on the cross, but also before that, his life, a life of service. And because he touched me with that, I desire, and you desire, to serve as well. And John, and in chapter 13, John chapter 13, as he's coming to the end of his life, he says in verse 13 through 17, You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. But you know these things, and you're blessed if you do them. He touched me. And because he touched you and I, we desire to serve. He touched me with his faith. He taught me to trust. John 17. And in verse 1 beginning, it says that Jesus spoke these things, lifting up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh. To him who is given, he may give eternal life. Then he says, this is eternal life. What's eternal life? This is eternal life, that you may know that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. It's a song that's in some song books. A fellow named Bill Gaither wrote this years ago. The song, He Touched Me. Says in one part of the song, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to be whole this morning? For those that aren't children of God as of yet, realizing the fact that the sin in your life, that you need to respond to the gospel and be baptized into Christ. Or for those that need to come back to the first love, realizing that Jesus has touched you and you're not living as you should. And you want to make a change. You want to make a change in your life as well. We invite you to come right now while together we stand and we sing.